Are we bloated or blessed? Or both? Advent invites us to really think about these realities. And if you look at the gospel, you say there'll be signs, sun and moon, nations will be in dismay, perplexed, people will die of fright. This is the good news. And if you think this is rather stark, this is chapter 21 of the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be looking at Luke for the liturgical year of this coming time. This is chapter 21, verses 25 to 28. When you go home, look at the Bible, go to chapter 21, and look at verses 5 to 20. Those are the ones that precede this gospel. And if you think this is bad, wait till you read 5 to 20. It's the end of Luke's gospel. It's kind of an odd gospel to have at the beginning of the season of Advent, but it makes sense because it's trying to get us to look to the future. To look to the future. And the description here, I want to say something really about the season of Advent. And then I want to say something about being bloated. I know a lot about it. Maybe you do, too. And then about being blessed. The readings all point to this kind of realization and the coming of the future. Jeremiah, I will fulfill my promise that I made to you. I will raise up David. I will bring someone to you that will save you. Judah will be safe, and in Jerusalem shall dwell secure. And what is the security? The security is the Lord our justice. The word justice, very important. People know that there's no real lasting peace unless there's justice. And justice is sometimes hard to establish. Because if you're working for justice, it presupposes there's an injustice. If there's an injustice, there are people who are grieved. It's common sense. So there's going to be a balancing of things, and some people that have had an advantage are going to have less of an advantage, and other people are going to have an advantage, or at least they're going to be on an equal playing field. The work of justice is difficult and dangerous. I think of the Pope now in the Congo. Very dangerous place. We have Marianist brothers in the Congo, about 30 of them. It's a dangerous place. The second reading, too, speaks about, well, what is the earliest book, letter in the New Testament? Quiz time. What text or what gospel was written, we're sure, before any of the others? Doesn't Cambria teach this congregation? Actually, it is the one that we have, the first letter to the Thessalonians. And they estimate that this was probably around the year 45. And you know why it's really an important letter? Because it indicates that there was this misunderstanding among the people of God at that early time, including Paul, who wrote this letter, that Jesus was going to come back pretty soon. So I saw this billboard once said, Jesus is coming, look busy. No, Jesus is coming, stand erect, as the gospel says, and welcome him as he comes. So Thessalonians is a very early text, and it embodies an expectation that obviously was not met. Any of us have expectations that have not been met? I didn't think it was going to turn out this way. Celibacy isn't all that it's cracked up to be? No, leave that one go. But here you have this kind of ramping up and looking at the season of Advent. Okay, it's instructive to think about when Advent actually was created. You know, when Christianity began, we didn't have that full liturgical year worked out. It took a while. And Advent, as best as we can tell, was put together by the church when the church became too comfortable. Now you might say, when's that? Has that ever not been? Well, it really was a major shift because the Christian communities were under persecution, were marginalized, so on and so forth, until the mid-third century, and they became more and more numerous. And by the fourth century, they were recognized to have religious freedom. And by the end of the fourth century, and people debate whether this was a good thing or not, they became the official religion of the Roman Empire. It became comfortable. Remember those Coptic Christians that were persecuted and beheaded, 20 of them, on the beach? We had that image. You know what? The Coptic Christian men, I don't know about the women, but the men have a cross that's tattooed on them so that it's clear, it's indelible, it can't be removed. This is who I am. They couldn't have said, you know, well, I'm not a Christian. So in that period, the late 4th, 5th century, Christianity realized it had a problem. And the problem was everything got too comfortable. And we needed to make people more aware that as good as this life is, as good as it is to be alive, it's even better what lies ahead. Now, that can be dangerous because Karl Marx said, you know, religion's the opium of the people. It actually puts you asleep, opium, and then you don't think about the work of justice. The paradox is that it's precisely the people that have longed for heaven that have made the biggest difference on earth. If it's the opium of the people, why did the 11 of the first 12 disciples get executed? That's hardly opium. That's danger. That's why I say anybody who lives the Christian gospel is never bored. It may be a security, but it's always going to push us beyond our comfort zone. So this is the period of time, only 4 weeks, where we seem to have the most in common with the Jews. The Jews are waiting for the first coming. Christians are waiting for the second coming. Jews look at us and they say, we don't see the full realization of the kingdom. There's not peace throughout the world, so we don't think the Messiah has come. It's a good question. We believe the Messiah has come. And not only has the Messiah come, but come in human form. And not only come in human form, but risked death and was crucified and came back not angry because we misbehaved and screwed everything up, but came back saying, peace, my peace I give you. Go and forgive sins. That's an extraordinary consolation. And he doesn't stay, once he's ascended, away from us, but the body of Christ is present to us in the Eucharist. So we have the journey with him and in him and through him. That's really something. And yet we await the second coming. So much for Advent. What about being bloated? The gospel, it's the only time the word is used in the New Testament. But it can also be intoxicated, being drunk. I've been drunk, I must confess, only twice in my life. And once, Scout's Honor, was by accident. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. One time when I was 19, I was just before I was going to enter religious life where I think I was going to shape up a lot, I said, what's it like to get drunk? And I was with a couple guys, and it was so terrible, and I did it in such a stupid way that I was, you know, I was out of it. I won't go into the details. They're nasty. But I was out of it for the next 24 hours, splitting headache. I didn't even know. I didn't have Excedrin in those days. Stupid. And to this day, I find if I drink a little bit more than I should, I'm talking 2 glasses of wine, it screws up my sleep. I don't know if that happens to any of you. And my mornings and my time for prayer are too important for that. I want to be alert. So one of the problems we have today is being bloated. And there are a lot of ways to be bloated. Another way to see it, and maybe this is more true for many of us, is we're distracted, constantly distracted. We have more capacity for distraction today than ever in history. Television, media, social media, Facebook,
Constant. Now, there's a good side to media too, isn't there? I mean, I don't think this is just terrible, like Black Friday. No, there's a good side. And the good side is, in a certain sense, even though it tends to be a little shallow, it links us to the world as never before. We feel what the French people have felt just recently. We can see images that stir us and move us. Think of this before photography. And we're talking 150, 160 years ago. There was no photography. And having a picture and seeing an image can be pretty powerful. Picture's worth 1,000 words. So media has a two-edged sword. Now it has the capacity just to bloat us. You just kind of become semi-comatose. I have a person that, whoever invented the channel changer, I have a housemate that does that. Will you watch something? So one of the questions we have to have is, how alert are we? How aware are we? This season of Advent, the notion of not being bloated but being alert, third point, is this. Christians should always be a little out of sync. You know what I mean? Out of sync. They're not. The last thing you want to say as a Christian is, man, I'm with it. So I like to say it takes nothing to be contemporary. All you got to do is inhale. The beginning of our most important life of the liturgy is now. It's not the fiscal year. It's not the academic year. It's not the civil new year, January 1st. Our beginning is the first Sunday of Advent. That's the new beginning. And that's one that we re-enter on a regular basis. So if we're going to be alert, if we're going to be aware, if we're going to welcome the Lord, I think it's really important to be not as distracted as we typically are. One example, we will pray later. I don't know how many of you could place this. All of you will recognize this phrase, but I think we need to reflect on it more. As we await the joyful hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember where we say this? I mean, you know the phrase. It's right after the Our Father. Thy kingdom come. And unfortunately, that same prayer, it says, save us from all, keep safe from all distress. They changed the word from the last translation. And before it was anxiety. Anxiety is what we need to be saved from. It's impossible to be saved from distress and worries. We always have them. But anxiety has no object. It just is free-floating anxiety. It can overwhelm, cripple, take on a person, and what's really bothering them? Well, you have no idea. We want to welcome the Lord when he comes. The best way to welcome the Lord when he comes, again, is to welcome him now. Christ has come. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. All of the Christian life is in between the first coming and the final coming. Everything is Advent in that sense. So my prayer for you and for me during this season is that, in fact, we remove distractions that take us away from seeing more clearly what time it is and is the in-between time where we really long and welcome for the coming of the Lord. We get to a certain age, that's easier to do. I always say wisdom for young people is treasuring the tradition. Wisdom for older people is being open to change. These are hard to do. Let us pray for the coming of the Lord, not as a stranger, but as someone we're already blessed with through the Eucharist.